Software acquisitions have to keep up with changing technology if they're to be useful to federal agencies. That pace used to be every 1 to 3 years, but now things evolve on a continuous basis. The General Services Administration's 18F team wants to help the government keep pace with that cycle through a government-wide blanket purchase agreement. For more on that BPA, we turn to Jay Shaw, Executive Vice President of Octo Consulting. Jay, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me this morning.
All right, so they launched this idea back in January. What is the status of it now?
So they're currently in the middle of the procurement. The procurement has been extended to the beginning of July, and the emphasis has really been focused on seeing vendors that can actually build products in a rapid time frame.
Because they had an industry day back in February, and so what did they say to industry? I know you're one of the bidders on this. What did they say to the companies assembled back in February?
So back in February, they actually had announced that it would be released fairly shortly afterwards. It was released about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago now. So we were all pretty much on standby and getting ready to prepare for what we were expecting to be as the instructions for the offers to be pretty loose, really focused on the digital services playbook, and really emphasizing on seeing what vendors can do in a short time frame.
And so what happened to delay it so many months? Here we are getting toward the end of the fiscal almost.
You know, I think they actually were pretty overwhelmed with a lot of questions. This is really a pretty drastic shift in government procurement. It's focusing on the outcomes for vendors. So I think there were a lot of questions around how they were going to evaluate. So I think that really caused them to take a look back and how they were going to fit within the FAR and, conduct the evaluations.
Kind of an irony there that the BPA for agility gets delayed by 6 months because of questions from industry.
Yeah. I think industry was expecting this. It was, we're excited to see this type of change in procurement because I think it does really emphasize the application of agile delivery and lean canvas and user experience design concepts that GSA talks about. So I don't think industry was surprised. We're still pretty excited to see this being rolled out the way they're doing it.
Because going the BPA route, the implication there is that everybody already has some contract vehicle that they're on now, and a BPA kind of reshifts that and takes people that are on existing vehicles and puts them under the BPA. So why, in your opinion, can't GSA simply go to certain bidders now without the BPA?
I think this what they're really trying to do is within the GSA Schedule 70 framework and apply that BPA, they're really looking for a different set of vendors. I mean, I think a lot of companies that can get onto Schedule 70 don't have to demonstrate these types of capabilities. So I think from their perspective, they really wanted to apply the principles that that 18F's talking about in terms of the digital services playbook. So I think it took the combination of the available vendors on the schedule and really coming up with this hackathon concept where, they can see the vendors apply those concepts. So I think they needed to really prove out and demonstrate that the type of vendors they're going to get actually live and breathe these concepts and can, in a very rapid way, deliver to GSA's customers.
All right, let's talk about rapid development itself for a second. Are there certain, besides techniques, let's say, are there certain technologies associated with this kind of agile work? For example, are there particular programming languages and expertise in those that would indicate someone is pretty good at agility?
So that's a great question. The emphasis is really on open source technologies. So I think that they're fairly technology agnostic, and I think GSA is allowing companies to have that flexibility. I think they're really more focused on the product itself that's being delivered versus the process or the tools or the technology that go into it. I think more than the technology, really the glue of the team is probably the most critical success factor here. They want to see vendors that have done this before and have teams that can jump right in and within a few hours start getting to, product development. And so we've worked with a lot of open source technologies. I think Java is obviously still prominent one in the marketplace. But I think more than anything else, it's the integration of the team and it's the application of the process more than the technology.
So it's not the violin, it's the way you play it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that, you know, to go to that same example, I mean, you know, a lot of companies can buy the best violin and pick it up and attempt to start playing it. It's those organizations that have been practicing, you know, it's the symphony, if you will, and it's all the instruments that have to come together to actually make something creative.
And so the sense of this is not that for just GSA's use for the 18F and the development it is hired to do by other agencies, but for agencies across the government to be able to use that BPA for their own agile development work.
Absolutely, yeah. I think 18F is, you know, as when they stood up, you know, that organization within GSA to focus on this lean startup model, it really did introduce more of a product development emphasis. And I think the biggest emphasis and what other agencies are really gravitating towards is becoming user-centric or citizen-centric, and that's applicable to every agency. You know, within the health agency, it might be patient-centric design. You know, within defense and the intel community, it's a different set of users they might be focusing on. But I think all the agencies are really taking notice around the type of work that GSA and 18F is doing.
And does it look as if they're looking at companies with that might also have commercial industry success with this whole DevOps and agile development type?
Absolutely.
Of
you know, I think there's been a pretty big focus on this Silicon Valley influx, if you will, and I think there's a lot of desire to benefit. I think there's a balanced approach that GSA is taking and that agencies need to take. While it's exciting to, you know, take the shiny object that the West Coast might provide, it still has to work within the constraints and the framework, you know, the FAR and the federal government is used to. But definitely, I think there's much more of an emphasis on what commercial's doing and how they can apply it in a very specific way to the federal government.
We're speaking with Jay Shaw. He's Executive Vice President of Octo Consulting. And besides 18F, what are some other pockets in the federal government that you've seen that are or get this whole idea of agile development, and can you name any projects they've done that have worked along those lines?
Sure. The concept of agile development isn't old to the government. We definitely have seen pockets of that. You know, we've supported some customers at Department of Labor and Department of Commerce that have really adopted that model. One in particular is at OSHA, where they deployed a new case management solution supporting over 5,000 users using agile development. I think what is interesting about what 18F's doing is it's the application of agile and UI UX and Lean Canvas and all the concepts within the digital services playbook. We're seeing pockets of that with some of our customers within, say, the Department of Justice community and the commerce community, but actually seeing all of it applied at one place, you're not seeing that too often.
And there seems to be, I guess, people bring to this an app or mobile device type of orientation, but this is also for enterprise applications, correct?
Absolutely. Agile development and UI UX is very much appropriate for enterprise solutions. I think that's where you see the most value when you have that type of user population. I think agencies that have been successful with it have definitely focused on smaller applications and getting those proof points before they roll that out. You know, there's a very different investment that your users have. And, you know, I think the biggest understanding that governments are, that the government agencies coming across now is you can't really outsource this. You know, the old way mindset of just bringing in an integrator and saying, you know, handle it, soup to nuts. User integration and user feedback is really critical. So those agencies that have understood that are starting to see more results, you know, versus those agencies that are attempting to do agile development and UI UX and are simply, you know, resorting to their old way of saying, okay, let's just have a single integrator handle all of this soup to nuts.
Now, when you talk about, you know, user-centered design and all of this and the interfaces based on that, I mean, software developers, companies that whose business is application software, for a long time have used videos and watching people and see how they move their mice and keyboards to try to get a handle on usability. How does the government do that when it comes to, say, different constituencies that might be visiting a site or using an app on a mobile device? How do they get a sense of what the users really want in such a way that they can change it before they release it?
So they do follow some of the same techniques in terms of collecting user feedback. I mean, even for this 18F prototype, because there was such a short time frame, you can use surveys and focus groups. We did something similar. I think in a lot of cases they may focus on a specific set of users initially, and because of the power of agile development, you don't have to collect all of that information up front. This idea of having all of your requirements and all of the user perspectives happening at one time, when you bring in agile development, you're able to do that in a more iterative fashion. So you could focus on a subset of users, start to understand the requirements, start to build a viable product, and then as you roll that out, and as the users actually see something, and I think that's the biggest difference between the old way of development, which is they're sitting there waiting 6 months, 9 months, a year before they see something, you're getting products out faster. So you're that much more confident that the users you are rolling it out to see the value of the product you're building and can understand how it can be used to support the mission that they're supporting.
And at the practical level, does the model work in this way? The government pretty much knows the requirements and what application it wants to put out there. Does it also get involved in the coding, or do they leave that out and the coding is done by one of the companies, whatever it might be, and it's delivered to the government on a frequent basis to look at and check and hand back and say, no, we've got to do this, we've got to do that?
We've seen both models. Typically, we've seen agencies take on a firm fixed price development model where they are serving as a product manager in the sense that they represent the users and that's the perspective they bring, and then they're following a firm fixed price model where a company is actually handling all of the sprint activities, which is within that agile sprint. And we've seen other cases where the government has decided that they want to play a role of developer or tester. I think typically those roles you tend to see more time and material because they're sharing, they're sharing that investment and sharing that risk with the contractor.
Right. And to what extent are applications developed in this manner reusable by other agencies and other situations? You mentioned, for example, a case management system that was developed for one of the agencies, and really there's almost no agency that doesn't have some form of case management that it requires, and especially when you're talking in terms of open source, it seems like these could be redeployed elsewhere.
I think you hit a very key point there, and that's when we're dealing with open source data, and there's a real big push for that right now. In fact, for the 18F challenge, the data sets that they provided the offers to use are from OpenFDA. I think that's really the key to getting to reusable apps within the federal government. This concept of shared services and service-oriented architecture, it's, again, not foreign. There's been a lot of attempts to focus on reusability. In the end, a lot of the traditional apps aren't built with reuse in mind because building something with reuse is often more expensive than building it for a very specific area or specific purpose. And you have the challenge of the data sets, applications being built so specific to the data set. So now when you introduce this increased use of open data, I think you really see the potential for these applications, be it mobile or be it for large enterprise systems, you're going to start to see more of those apps reusable. And even right now, when you look at OpenFDA, a lot of the open source applications that have been built on those data sets are available. You can see them, see them available. FDA is offering them. You can actually download the application out of their repositories. So I think that's really the big shift in how these applications are going to become more and more reusable, and that's due to that open data.
So in other words, you can reuse the logic, and all you have to do then at that point is manage the API to the specific data.
Absolutely, and with those APIs and the instructions that come with them, you're dealing with the source of the data, the truth of the data. I think another challenge that's often associated and using APIs and web services to get to the data is helping with is that concern over where the truth is. You might be hitting a data kind of daisy chaining data together, and I think a lot of agencies have faced that problem with their traditional app development. So you know, you bring in those web services, you know, and you again look at the open source development that's been done. You can actually see the logic, and then maybe 80% of it's reusable, and you can sort of figure out what the 20% is. And it isn't. It's not about it being all or nothing. You can actually have degrees of reuse because of open source.
All right. So getting back to the BPA, what's your sense, or what is GSA saying it's going to be the release date now, or the award date?
So as of now, they still haven't answered questions. They were, the original due date was this past Thursday. And in fact, you know, our sort of hackathon schedule was based on that as well. They're due to answer questions this week. As of now, the due date's not changed. It's still July 1st. But I do expect, you know, that there will likely be another delay as they answer questions and as they give the community a chance to react to, you know, to the answers that they provide. But hopefully soon, I think, you know, we're excited to see this completed. I know a lot of eyes are on this procurement because it really is setting a new standard for how the government community can evaluate the capabilities of these innovative companies. It's not about just writing about how you do things. In fact, there's only a very small 750-word sort of write-up that comes with it. Everything else is about the product you've built.
All right. Jay Shaw is Executive Vice President of Octo Consulting. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for your time. Have a great morning.